Great to have you company wherever you're listening. You can jump on the line anytime you like. 1-300-736-736. Quite a few coming through on the speckled text. So I'll read your speckled text out after the first half an hour of the program very shortly. Couple coming through on the Lockie Hunter possible suspension. G'day, Dwayne. I agree. The fine punishes the individual. The game suspension punishes the team. Regards, Muzza in Mallacoota. Steve Johnson was suspended for 6 matches by the Geelong Football Club for disciplinary reasons, and it became the best thing that the Geelong Footy Club and Stevie J did for the year. Absolutely, it was. It made a statement. Be interesting to see what the Dogs do. We'll talk more about that and take more of your calls. 1-300-736-736. But Simon Lethlean's been good enough to join me, St Kilda Chief Operating Officer. Simon, welcome to the program. Thanks for giving me a few minutes of your time.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm going pretty well, but I get to come to work every day. I presume you're doing some quite a bit of work with the vision that there's this light at the end of the tunnel moment when footy's going to be back, and with each passing day, we're getting closer to it.
Yeah, look, I hope so. I know how hard the AFL guys are working with all the relevant authorities, and we hope to get footy back out there, not just for the industry, but for the community to play our role, but obviously the health experts will dictate that. And meanwhile, 18 clubs are doing their best to stay connected and keep the players fit and healthy and keep the businesses going. And there's obviously a lot of staff stood down, and that's, you know, quite distressing in some ways. But everyone's that's still on reduced hours are working more hours than normal just to try and keep things ticking along. But it's an unusual time. But, yeah, the Saints will be ready to go as soon as we're allowed to.
And the return to training date initially was penciled in as May 4. That was the date that a few people had been talking about, and we had that expressed on this program, May the 4th, until we hear differently. The AFL is going to announce what that date is in a week or so's time, probably 8 or 9 days' time. So Gill's intimated that he's going to do that definitely by the end of the month. And it doesn't just affect the players. It affects everybody at the club around the players who are going to at least have their rough return to do what I do date.
Yeah, that's right. Let's hope so. Yeah, they'll obviously, I think the industry has sort of agreed that there'll be probably a 3-week lead into games in which to get your players back and get them training and get the coaches and high performance guys back in, whichever skeleton plus staff we can all afford. So, yeah, it'd be good to have at least a target date so that, you know, the uncertainty is one of the worst things. You know, the uncertainty of your staff and also the fact they love their jobs. There's sort of, you know, two key issues there that hopefully the certainty can come back into it a bit more so people can start planning their lives and working out what that means for their futures. So, yeah, it'll be an important announcement at the end of the month.
And do you see that? I mean, you've sort of intimated there that it is important. Now, it doesn't really matter if the date's June or it's July or it's August 1. It is something to aim at, something to focus on for the players?
Oh, I think so. And again, not just players. You know, a whole heap of staff across the industry and for the community too, to have some certainty around when it might be that the health experts and the AFL agree we can come back. It'll allow people, like anything, Dwayne, if you know you're going to be back in at work at such and such date, or you're going to be back competing in the competition, you know, that you love, and you'll have your Saints back on TV on this date, gives everyone a chance to settle and set themselves for that and organise their lives around it. You know, there's, you know, something like 80% of our staff who are currently just surviving on JobKeeper allowance, like a whole large percentage of the community, and it's not that sustainable. And so to at least have some certainty around when things might get back to larger capacities will be great for everyone.
Do you, what are the parameters that are going to be in place, or the AFL asked you to put in place just in case a player does test positive, or what parameters are going to be in place to test players on the way in, their day back? And will players, do you think, give up to mobile phone tracing and give everybody the opportunity to have that done if a player tests positive, to trace where they've been and who they've been in contact with?
Oh, yeah, look, there's a whole heap of big questions there. I mean, at the moment, each club's head medical officer is the person in charge of how our players will return and be monitored and what health regulations will be in place. So that's one that everyone like myself takes advice on. And I'm assuming it's one of the key criteria on which the AFL will be dealing with the governing authorities about under what strict regulations these clubs can come back together to get things going again. So that's all to be determined. And the mobile phone stuff, again, it's a pretty serious question, which I don't have an answer other than that I'm sure all, if not the majority of this industry, understands its obligation to get back up and going, and that health will be the priority, and that if there's health measures that are required of us, and the explanations make enough sense, that you know, we'll all do our bit to try and get this comp running, but also to maintain the health of all our people. So, yeah, there's a lot of big ticket items still to tick off on that front.
And the process with some club officials are in the age demographic that have been serving the club for decades now, and I presume they'll ask to not return, or they're probably asked to not return anyway, have they?
Well, at this stage, there's not many that are on workforce at the moment anyway, because most of the staff are stood down. But, look, if there are some in higher risk categories, we'll have to be very careful with them, just like I guess most of us all are being with our parents and grandparents around our kids and everything else. We'll need to be careful based on our staff as to if there's higher risk. We'll need to either have precautions in place to ensure their health and safety or require them to be working differently. I mean, we've all made different ways of working these days than we used to 6 weeks ago, so we'll find a way for those key staff that we need.
Turn to Simon Lethland, St Kilda Chief Operating Officer. Simon, the soft cap or the footy department spend, what are the boundaries going to be for that? Because there are a lot of guys that, you know, are ex-players, they're involved in marketing, but, you know, if a half-forward comes up to them and says, look, how do you reckon I should play this position? They're often quite content to give advice. You look at a guy like Brendan Gale, who was a superstar of the game. You know, his wage isn't going to be included in the football department spending cap, but if he wanders down to training one day and gives a ruck clinic, it would be fair for him to do that. Where's the boundary going to be drawn?
Yeah, look, the policing of the football department spend or cap, whatever you want to call it, I guess will be an interesting one. There'll have to be a casual workforce that, like there already is at clubs that you'd know well through, you know, honorariums and volunteers that aren't paid, that help out on all sorts of fronts. But, you know, for those paid staff at clubs, it'll be monitored appropriately. There are some mechanisms for certain amounts of salaries to be outside footy caps and the like, and Ken Wood and his team monitor that pretty officiously at the AFL, so I'm assuming that will be ramped up. But I guess one thing that is becoming pretty apparent in football department spends, which are going to be reduced, we don't know by how much yet, is that those that have more than just one skill set will become pretty important employees. You know, the Jared Roughheads of the world that can coach, run leadership groups, be on list management, you know, mentor young players. You know, if you can do more than one thing in the program, you'll be very valuable. So we think at the Saints we've got a few of those staff. You know, James Gallagher, our list manager, can help coach and play and train and others. You know, Ben Robbins, our Sykes and ex-player, he can get on the track as well. So I'm sure there'll be lots of people doing more than just their primary skill set, which will become very important in footy.
So there'll be a bit of goodwill or honesty in this. If a player does both, you might, if you say, you know, for a rough figure, he's on $100,000 a year with the club, you might say, well, $80,000 of that is marketing, but $20,000 of that is as part of his coaching capacity. So you can include that in that cap?
Well, that'll all be to be determined by the AFL. They have very strong rules around all this stuff. So any example like that would need to be ticked off by Ken Wood and his team before you can enshrine that sort of salary apportionment. So, yeah, there's no getting around it all other than what is in the rules of the AFL. But, there's lots of different unknowns now, Dwayne, because the world's changed. But, it'll all be consistent.
So what are the rules around that now, then, before the coronavirus hit? What are the rules around splitting of your jobs?
Are you talking about players now or staff?
No, staff. Staff that also coach, but they're also involved in the marketing department, for instance.
Yeah, there's certain percentages that are permitted to be outside of the football spend. I think they go in 25% increments, so you can't be too cute to be 90-10 or 85-15. I think it's 75-50 and 25%. And there's, across all clubs, there'd be some football staff apportioned outside of footy, so long as they are bona fide employment contracts to be undertaking that work, and each one of those is ticked off by Ken Wood. So it's quite strict.
Players that are frustrated, they get a lot more help than the general person in the public sphere now that is frustrated with the situation we're in, because a player can tap into your health expert or your psychologist anytime he likes, just pick up the phone and it's paid for by either you or the AFLPA. How have you addressed it with your clubs, handling the frustration and still setting examples?
Yeah, look, it's been a challenge. It's not, there's not as much face-to-face contact as we're all used to. In football, we've kept on our player welfare manager, our club psych and our doctor for the very purpose of ensuring that there's regular contact with players for their health and for their mental health and for their families. And also, our club psych is now starting to expand, I guess, his wings a bit to make sure staff are travelling okay by way of wellness surveys and the like. So everyone's doing their best to ensure that players and staff have access to the support they need. And the AFL's got a very good employee assistance program that's available for all AFL staff and club staff in the industry to dial in and seek the support that they need. So the industry's done very well there to provide the best support it can to all its people.
And do you see the game changing in terms of the rules or the parameters around how many players allowed to interchange numbers, 16 on the field perhaps as opposed to 18, when we come back for the remainder of this season from what it was in round one? Because we've seen a change with the amount of games. 17 is now the number as opposed to 22. Do you see any other major changes for this next phase of footy this year?
Yeah, look, I think Gil's quite rightly been regularly saying how agile and flexible the competition needs to be to survive and thrive. And I don't think there'll be huge changes to reduce numbers on the field this year, but who knows going forward. They certainly have asked the views of all clubs about rules, including things like rotations and or numbers on the bench. I think all clubs would have probably differing views on what is required there and what's best, but I do know the AFL is going to be very flexible to make sure it enables the best chance for continuity and for the season to be completed and with as many players available to play as possible. So I'm sure there'll be some flexibility, but I don't imagine huge change to rules. Maybe rotations and numbers are the main ones I'll be looking at.
And what if there's, Simon Lethlean's opinion and Brett Ratten's opinion? Do you put both of those opinions in, or do you have one opinion as a club?
We try and submit. We've had a couple of regular templates sent from the AFL of late, and I share that with my management team, which is obviously the senior coach, the head of our program, David Rath, our list manager, James Gallagher, head of high performance, Matt Hornsby, and our doctor, Tim Barber, and Danny Sexton Operations, to all collate their views, and we tend to then submit an all-of-club response. But if there's varying views on some things, you include option 1, 2, 3 and potentially prioritise which one you think's best. So, I'm assuming all 18 clubs are doing the same, and there'd be a lot of views being sent to the AFL, but they do then summarise to us what the main takeouts are. So it's been a pretty collegiate way of doing things.
So before I let you go, can you give me one that you like the sound of, or something that you would not like changed?
Oh, look, I don't think I've got a priority on that. I mean, the key priorities for us are the health and safety of players. The second one is getting the competition back up and running and completed. And then there's some really interesting stuff around list sizes and second tier and draft age. But that's really the AFL's job to collate what's best there and to do the work.
Give us a little morsel, Simon. What do you like? What do you like with second tier? What do you like with health and safety of players means you don't want to reduce the interchange or reduce the number on the bench by the sounds of things?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think any club used their 90 rotations in the first round because we were probably didn't realise how fast those quarters were going to get done. So, players didn't get off as much as you might have thought. But, you know, you start playing four or five games across 3 weeks, that might look a bit different. So, yeah, I mean, there's always been varying views on rotations across the industry. You know, high-performance and medical guys always have differing views. So I haven't got a strong one, but... you know, I'm interested in the second tier because we've got a very good alignment at the moment with Sandringham. If we're going to have lower list numbers, those alignments are going to need to be strong to make sure you've got the players that you need to top up, well-coached, hopefully under your regime and with a very close partnership. So second tier is going to be really critical in this, and those second tier reviews have been happening for 10 and 15 years and we've never quite landed a universal approach, but the AFL's probably going to have to, and crisis brings opportunities. Hopefully we get the right models.
Great to have a chat to you, Simon. Really appreciate you jumping on the line, and we'll look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks when we all know when we're coming back.
That'd be good, Dwayne. Thanks for having us on.
Simon Lethlean, St Kilda Chief Operating Officer. You heard all that. You jump on the line. 1300 736 736 is the number. 1300 736 736.